of Scripture just proclaimed, become beautiful melodies in each of your hearts. Whenever I'm privileged to celebrate the Eucharist on Ascension, I always think of my seminary experience in Seattle. When we were in the seminary, when we would go home in the summertime, we would be assigned a text to write a homily or a sermon on, and then we would have to write that during the summer. And then we'd have to send it to one of the professors, priests, was assigned to read and approve our text. And then when we got back to the seminary, each of us had to get up on a stage. I think we did it like maybe, in those days we had like about 20 or 30 or 40 classmates at a time. And we'd have to get on, some number of us would have to get on a stage and we'd have to give our homily by heart, by memory, before the faculty and the students. And of course, I can't remember exactly what happened to us if we messed it up, but I think we had to give it over again by heart. And I always was ticked off at that. But I'm thankful now because, you see, I don't use notes usually when I preach. That's not because I haven't prepared my homily. It's because for me, it's easier to learn it by heart. But some people haven't learned that way or are not comfortable with that. But one of the things I do remember about this particular, I was assigned the Feast of the Ascension. And I remember just before I was supposed to give my homily, the priest who was in charge, and somehow he hadn't said anything to me, and I came back and I was all scheduled to give my homily, and he stops me in a courtyard and he says, you know, I can't remember everything, but basically he thought that I was a heretic. See, it started way back then, you guys. I can't remember exactly all that was about it, but you know, when you listen to this particular text here, it had to do, I think, with the Ascension. In Luke, you know, is a very it's a very bodily, earth-like kind of thing. You know, the way it's described in Luke. Take a look at the collect here, and it says Jesus Christ ascended far above all the heavens. And as he's rising up, he's blessing the disciples and so on. Very physical in the way it's described. A lot of people back in those days, I think when I was a seminarian, one of the phrases that was kind of like au courant was, you know, demythologize the Bible. Get rid of the myth in the bad sense of the word, and get to the spiritual substance of the text. So, no, surely we modern people, we don't believe that Jesus floated up in the sky somewhere. Maybe some fundamentalists do. But, you know, and that he was, you know, as he was being lifted up, that somehow he was blessing them and all of that. I suspect, I don't have my copy of my homily, but I probably was probably infected a bit with that demythologizing disease. trying to find some way to be true to the scriptures and yet to give a more modern interpretation. I don't know. Somehow the Holy Spirit invaded my mind and I uttered the right words to this priest, and he never made me rewrite my homily, so I only had to give it once. Thanks be to God. So I said something that, you know, made him feel okay with it. But you know, over the years I've matured. I think about the body, and it is a very bodily thing in Luke. Now, you know, I ask myself as I've grown older, well, is this myth in the pure sense of the word, and we're supposed to, in the negative sense, that we're just supposed to, excuse me, let me get this piece of paper. Is this myth in the bad sense of the word? So we just strip away all the stuff and just kind of reduce it to a kind of story about how how our, you know, our the memory of Jesus abides in our hearts, and so on? Or is it something much more powerful than that? Luke himself, when you read Luke, this is text that we read today was from Luke chapter 24. Just preceding this particular text, there is the famous story of the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. And remember, Jesus, the risen Jesus, appears to them. And they didn't recognize him. And they only recognized him after he had interpreted the scriptures to them, and after he had broken bread with them. And somehow, the combination of the two things, interpreting scripture, which our gospel text talks about today, and breaking bread, reminded them of Jesus, the Jesus they knew before he died. And they said, this person before us, even though we didn't recognize him, that's what Jesus was all about. That's how Jesus acted. But at first they didn't recognize him. Because as risen, he's not exactly the same. He's undergone some kind of transformation and change. He's not Jesus who simply walked around in the body like he was before. There's a body there. There's a real reality there. It's not just a figment of our imaginations. But this reality is both in continuity with the Jesus we knew as a man in history, and yet in discontinuity, different, changed, transformed. This is why many of the theologians have said over the ages that the resurrection of Jesus is not the same thing as the resuscitation of a body. You have somebody in a hospital and their heart has stopped. And if they get resuscitated, they're able to be restored back to the life they were living up to that particular time. That's not death in the theological sense of the word. Death in the theological sense of the word is when one enters into oneness, eternal oneness with God. You don't want to come back from that. That's a great thing to do. Jesus is resurrected. He has entered into eternal oneness with God. He's changed. And yet, we believe, there is a bodily dimension. We Christians believe in the not just the immortality of the soul, but the resurrection of the body. We're very countercultural in Christianity. It's hard enough these days to believe in the immortality of the soul. It's doubly hard to believe also in the resurrection of the body. Because we look around and we see bodies deteriorate. Our bodies are changing constantly, moment by moment by moment. And yet we believe that somehow our body is transformed in ways too difficult for us to comprehend. And I think one of the reasons why this text of the Ascension is so bodily in Luke is because Luke is trying to tell us there the body has its role to play in our Christian life, and it still has that role to play in Jesus' resurrected life. Part of it might have to do with how the risen Christ works through our bodies. That when Christ rose from the dead, that somehow he continues to be in relationship through his Father and through the Spirit, with all of us in the cosmos. And our bodies, in a certain sense, become his body. We talk about the mystical body. So you notice the text here talks about, you know, we're going to be his witnesses. How is his presence going to abide with us now? Partly through us. Through our bodies. Not just our bodies, also our minds, what we say, how we talk, and live out our lives. Through the sacraments. The Eucharist. So in a way, the risen Christ works through our bodies. But these will come to an end. These will come to an end. We believe, though, and this is where it really gets countercultural, we believe that our risen bodies will not come to an end. And what this means is, it seems to me, partly what it means is that it places a high value upon our bodies. That it's not Christian to disdain the body. To have a low estimate of the body. We really need to have a very high estimate of the body. And that's part of what it means to believe in the ascension of Christ, that as his body has ascended, our bodies will ascend with him in time. So it's good news. The ascension is good news. I know it's not easy to understand and comprehend. Do we have to always understand everything? We don't have to always understand everything. And quite frankly, I've come, as I've grown older, I really have grown not to trust people who think they understand everything. Amen.